We read in Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, beginning at verse 1. Exodus 30, verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of hewn wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and in a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two gold rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it, shalt thou make it. And they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamp, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lights the lamp at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Further down in chapter and verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt eat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. Now I'd like us to turn over into the New Testament, because I always like to read a verse in the New Testament when I read something from the Old Testament. As we all know, don't we? That the new is in the old contained, and the old is by the new Testament. So we'll turn to Revelation chapter 5. That's the old. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 8. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he, that is the Lamb, had taken the book, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of waters, which are prayers of sins. And in Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Dearly beloved, my desire is to let our hearts be encouraged today. There's a great need around to serve the Lord, to further him, his blessed interest, to keep in company with him. And I just thought this is perhaps one service that's a bit neglected, and it's a service that all of us can engage in, from the youngest to the oldest. I remember hearing of a brother and his 2.5-year-old daughter used to pray when he went to preach the gospel. And of course, saints all through Canada, until they're in the 90s and even beyond, can pray and intercede. And it's a service that is very necessary today. Of course, we need to all be revived in our hearts. Well, I'm not here to judge your hearts. I'm not here to say whether you need revival or not. I wouldn't presume to do so. But each and every one of us must answer before God in that respect. But I am pretty certain, as far as one can be humanly speaking, that your hearts are on fire for the Lord. I'm not complimenting you. No, you have a desire to serve the Lord. Perhaps this is one way that we are sometimes a little bit neglectful of the need of intercession. Now, of course, we can't really just set intercession before ourselves for its own sake. No, we must in all things have a pattern for that intercession, mustn't we? And who better than the great and wonderful interceder, the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh yeah, wonderful great interceder. Now here we have this altar, this wonderful lovely type, this altar of burning incense. You're all very familiar with the tabernacle system, chapters 25, 26, 27, all the various settings up of it, starting from the ark and working outwards, right out to the very court and the gate in, all these things. And then, of course, there needs to be a priesthood to serve in there, mustn't there? So you see how that priesthood is set up and the wonderful garments that the high priest has. And then, of course, there are things that they must do, and there must be a basis for them. And here is this altar for the burning of incense. And it was of acacia wood, the wood that was used elsewhere in the tabernacle, a very strong wood from the desert, able to stand up to all the beating of the winds and the dust storms and things like that, and they wouldn't rot away. No, very, very strong wood. And it was to be a cubit long and a cubit broad, and but 2 cubits in height. Height was twice that of its breadth and length, and the breadth and length square, we see the significance of that presently, and it was 2 cubits high. And then it said, you shall overlay it with pure gold. Sorry, of itself shall be its horns. And it wasn't just cut as a block of wood, no, a solid block, I think. Not like the ark, which was hollow. 4 boards obviously put together, probably shaped out, but it was hollow. And we know, of course, there was 3 things put into that ark of a great significance. It's not my purpose just at the moment to dwell on that. But here was a solid block of wood, and it seems to bring before me the stability, the immovability of the Lord in this great work of intercession, not to be moved away. You see, not to be moved away, the stability of it for him. And we all know, of course, how the wood, the shittim wood, speaks of his blessed and wonderful humanity. And as man here, overlaid with pure gold, all the top and sides round about, and these horns which should speak forth the power, the blessed power of our blessed Lord, his availability, his power outreaching. And these horns were shaped out of the same block of wood. They weren't attached in any way. No, when it was cut out, whoever carved them, Bezaliel, he carved them out, and they were a one part, and then they were covered with the gold. And we see in that wonderful way our blessed Lord here. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, yes. There we see this blessed one who became man, as it says in Luke chapter 2, that holy thing which shall be born. Not born of thee, no. That holy thing which shall be born, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing which shall be born shall be called Son of God. Now, of course, I should need to mention to you, you're probably all aware in passing that he wasn't given the name of Son of God at that time. No. No. As some may, in error, have tried to say today, no, that was his name. That was what he ever had with him. And it was just in case poor, frail man would try and venerate him, lower him, bring down his glory to mere humanity. And the Holy Spirit is making clear and sure that blessed name that he had from all eternity would be called upon him here, even as he was a man in this scene. That holy thing which shall be born, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Let us hold to that dear beloved in this day. So he was here for the pleasure of God as a man. Wonderful mystery. Wonderful mystery indeed. And there were laid sides round about, and then there was this border round it of gold. Crown to it, wonderful border of it, showing forth something of the glory of our blessed Lord. And we know that many crowns are his head. Glorious firstborn from the dead. Yes. Because you know, it's rather significant, you see, that this altar is higher than the brazen altar. Oh no, it isn't, you see. You say, oh no, the brazen altar, three cubits high. But you see, the grating that the sacrifices were laid on was only halfway up, 1.5 cubits. And the height of the mercy seat, because the Ark of the Covenant was 1.5 cubits, and then the mercy seat was laid on it, it was 1.5 cubits as well. But this altar, a golden altar of incense, 2 cubits. And signify to us that the Lord after his death is now gone on high. Just then, now Christ is gone on high, redemption's work complete. The Spirit brings his glory nigh to those who for him wait. Yes, isn't that wonderful? The blessed time. And it's as a man gone into the presence of God, a man on high, who leads this great work of intercession. Yes, we say to God, he lives a man before thee and proud the spite of us. In thine and bound with favour, thine everlasting love. Yes, what a wonderful blessed Saviour is. Many crowns are on this blessed day. What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus. And he's gone in there for you and I, the saved of God. And he appears in the presence of God for you and I. What though the accuser royal of ills that I have done? Yes, he knows them all. He appears for us. What a blessed and wonderful Saviour is. He's an all of the whole Saviour. Yes. All the way home, Saviour. It speaks, it doesn't it, in Hebrews chapter 7. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. The one there who appears now in the presence of God for us. Hebrews, he is able to save completely those who approach by him to God. See, he ever lives. He ever lives to make intercession for them. What a blessed and wonderful Saviour he is, maintaining and sustaining us in the very presence of God, this great work of intercession. And surely the classic we would see in John 17, when he comes to the Father, and then after seeking that he might be glorified with the Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, and then prays for his own, doesn't he? He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, out of the world. Why should keep them out of the evil. Keep them out of the evil. Not keep them from evil. Oh yes, evil will come, but they might be kept out of it. Subtle difference there, dear beloved. Meditate on that. Enjoy it. Precious, wonderful Saviour that's there interceding for us. And so, you shall make upon it a border of gold round about. However, of course, all of these things in the tabernacle, it wasn't a stable scene, it was moving through in testimony. And this ark, of course, when they came to pitch and move on, and it was the time to move on, a cloth all in blue was put over that ark, that altar. Cloth all in blue shows you that the blessed heavenly man, this one who was here, was a heavenly man. First man of the earthly, the second man, out of heaven. Completely different character of manhood, a man out of heaven. Man out of heaven, blessed, the truth of Scripture. Man out of heaven shows you that blessed order of manhood that our precious Saviour and Lord had made. Yes, he could hunger and thirst, he could be weary with the journey, he could eat food, he could weep. Yes, he could weep. In various ways, what a blessed, precious Saviour he was. He felt these things. Yes, he was truly man, but it was a special order of man, who was a man out of heaven. And that covering was put over it, and then over it, the covering of badger skins, which we know, of course, not very attractive to the outward eye. There is no beauty in him that we should desire. And also, of course, the badger, you know, the badger skin. It's completely impervious to soil that come on it. You know, it can go through mud and everything, and the mud just goes off. Never sticks, never attaches to. And our blessed Lord went through this godless, filthy scene, and not a stain ever came upon him. Oh, indeed, what a blessed, precious Saviour he is, isn't he? What a wonderful Saviour he is. He went through it for the pleasure of God. And so it was carried through. The sons of Korah had to carry it. And we, of course, are aware that they weren't given a cart to do so. They had to bear it upon the shoulders. Dear saints of God, are we bearing the full weight of this in the day? Are we standing for the faith once delivered to the saints, these blessed truths that were recovered for us 150 or more years ago? Are we standing for these blessed truths, the truths of Scripture? Yes, I just said on Friday to a Greek Orthodox man, he was saying, oh, you don't hold the traditions of the fathers and the saints and all that's gone on. I said, no, we go right back to Acts chapter 2. That's where we start. Start there on the simple faith of Scripture. Dear saints of God, are we there in this testimony today where we are found? Yes, there's much to distract us. Many saying, give it up. Let's swim into the crowd. No, let us be found here faithful to him in these last and closing days. And it was placed in a very blessed position before the veil, as if it was there, that there was the veil between it. Of course, we know now, of course, in the Hebrews we read that veil is done away. The holy place and the holy of holies is one. And there's no difference there now, and the censer has gone right in, and it's seen in Hebrews 9 on the mercy seat there. That's a blessed place indeed, where it's all the one now. And but every morning Aaron, it seems to say Aaron himself, where we read in Deuteronomy chapter 33 about Levi saying, they shall put incense before my nostrils. So I do feel that although primarily the bearing of this passage is speaking uniquely of the Lord, I think obviously we can get help from Deuteronomy 33 that we in this day and dispensation can come in this service, this blessed service of intercession. And that is why I read that verse in Revelation 5 to encourage us that we might indeed the incense, the odours, the fragrance, which is the prayers of saints, we might be on this line of intercession today. And so it was associated morning and evening when he dressed the lamps. You see, it's not really divorced from the witness of the Blessed Spirit of God. Let us not be haphazard about our intercession. No, it must be associated with the blessed testimony of the Spirit today. He takes of the things of Christ, shows them to us. And he's in this world in ministry, men of righteousness and judgment, and righteousness. Convincing men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Let us be associated in our intercession with that line of testimony today, dear and beloved. Not in some whim or fancy of our own, but associated with the Blessed Spirit's testimony today. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the assemblies. And so there we were. Then it says in verse 9, ye shall offer up no strange incense thereof. No, we've not to have any strange concoctions, no strange notions of ourselves, ideas that we read from the things of men. No, let our prayers be as founded on the Scriptures and the Word of Truth, and that on the preciousness of Christ, with Christ as the basis, his glory before us. And I was very encouraged on last Wednesday evening in our local Bible reading when we were reading John 14, and where our Lord says, you shall ask what you will. You ask according to my name, you shall ask what you will, and I will grant it unto you, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the brethren came to the conclusion, you see, that we are, that's what the prime desire of our prayers would be, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, and that the Father will be glorified in the Son. There might be, and there should be, glory for God if we ask for a new motor car or a better job. No, that's not the great thought. Let us have before us God's interest, the Father's interest, the Lord's interest, the testimony in this day, furtherance of the interests of Christ in the scene. And that's why I read in the Colossians of Epaphras. He wasn't praying that the saints might have better material conditions. No. His burden, and he was agonizing about it. He was in agony about it. He was laboring fervently. Dear saints of God, I challenge your heart, I challenge mine. Am I agonizing? Am I laboring to this end? The saints might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Yes. Have we got the saints on our hearts? The Lord Jesus Christ has them on his heart, haven't he? Yes, we always wonder and marvel at the jewels on the breast there, don't we? And we think about it, and we marvel how wonderful it is. But have we got these same blessed feelings, dear saints of God? Do we feel for the saints of God? Do we pray for them? Do we bear them up before God? Do we desire that they might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? Is that what's before us, dear saints of God? That's something for us to be encouraged in these days, isn't it? And then, of course, I didn't read it, but we can intercede on behalf of the undone sons of men. Think of Abram, that great interceder on behalf of Sodom. Yes. And today, in Paul could write to Timothy in chapter 2, he says, I exhort that first of all prayer, intercession, supplications, giving of thanks, be made for all men everywhere. Kings and rulers, those in authority, yes, we can pray on behalf of them as we see them going around, don't we? Terrible condition they're in. Oh, how it soils us when we go down to the seaside and we see the way they're stripped half naked. And the condition of man today, when you move around the streets of London and you see them rolling drunk, and there they are, we know, of course, but for the grace of God, there they are. Oh, do we intercede? Do we pray for them? Pray for the undone sons of men. And indeed, well, can we give thanks here and there for kings and rulers and those in authority? Still today, there are those in authority who indeed are acting in a righteous way, trying to uphold what is right. Well, let us, dear saints of God, at least give thanks where we can view it in some way. We know, of course, things are fast hastening on to the end, but let us be able at least to give thanks here and there. Let us continue in this work of intercession on behalf of the undone sons of men, and where we can speak a word for the Master. So, it then says, offer up no strange incense, and then it says, nor burnt offering, nor oblation. And you know, well, there's many thoughts about this, but one thing that did occur to me, you know, is when we offer up burnt offerings, we do that at the Lord's Supper, don't we? First day of the week, the Lord's Supper. That's where we offer up burnt offerings. So I would suggest, dearly beloved, that we shouldn't mix that with intercessory prayer. Let's keep it distinct. I know it's become a tradition, but I always enjoyed just being on that Lord's Day morning, occupied with our blessed Lord. Where before our feeble faith he showed his hands in his side, and our glad hearts responsive unto his, awoke in all the power of love divine. And we could say to him, thy death has brought to light the Father's heart, and ours is one. Now we contemplate thee as thou art God's glorious Son, know that we are loved with that great love that rests on thee in those white coats of love. And as we contemplate that wonderful love, then we are brought into the Father's love, and our hearts rise to him, Father, spring, source of blessing, grateful praise to thee we bring. Oh, when we are in that blessed scene of the presenting Christ in all his blessed acceptability, offering the burnt offering. Well, I know intercession is a necessary work, but let us keep things in the place, dear beloved. We have the intercession meeting, we have the prayer meeting, where we should intercede. Let us be there and pray and intercede. Don't let us mix things up. I would, of course, say that the converse isn't necessarily true. If we are at a prayer meeting, there's room to pray. There's room to praise, sorry. Room to praise. When I first came along to prayer meetings as a boy of about 14 or 15, came to prayer meetings, and there was a dear old servant of God, Mr. McGroom. And he spoke how in the village where he'd been brought up in Ayrshire, a dear brother went along to visit this dear old sister, about 90 she was, Medwin. And the brother said, well, what shall we pray for? What shall we pray for? And she said, nothing left to pray for. Mace praise, mace praise. I'll translate that for your benefit. Mostly praise, you see. Mostly praise. She said, nothing else to pray for, she felt. It was praise for the way the Lord had led her, yes, throughout her life. Praise, and she wanted praise. So sometimes, you know, in that prayer meeting, he would rise, mace praise, mace praise. However, don't let us neglect to pray, but keep them in their balance, dear beloved. And then, of course, you weren't to pour drink offerings thereon. Don't make it an example of our devotion in a way, our extra devotion. No, just keep the prayer pointed and definite, and with that in mind, what you have in mind, the soul you have in mind, the person you have in mind, the saint you have in mind. The apostle was very definite. If you read through his epistles, almost every epistle in the first chapter, he says, I make mention of you at my prayers. He's definite about them. And he has a specific exercise about them, doesn't he? Read it through. It's quite a helpful lesson to read through. And so, it was made atonement for once a year, on that great day of atonement, when God was recognizing that he would go on with his people for another year. But of course, with us, God goes on with us forever, right through into eternity. Just briefly at the end of the chapter, it speaks of what constituted this incense. Fragrant drugs, stacte. I understand the stacte from reading various Bible commentaries was a sort of a resin that came out from the tree. And when I've spoken to the botanists in the Kew Gardens and my frequent visits there, not that I go there for pleasure, it's in the days when I have visitors and I take them there, you see. So I, on occasion, I've spoken to the gardeners and people there. They say that these resins, the tree is in a sense suffering, you see, comes out through pressure, through suffering. And of course we can see in our blessed Lord who suffered like to him. Yes, suffering is beyond compare. So as we meditate on the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a constituent of that blessed incense, don't we? Church of God. And then the onycha is a kind of shell, you see. It's ground down and it brings forth a wonderful odour. But it's not just, you know, lying by the seashore. Not lying by the seashore. Where is it? Not just lying in 10 feet of water or 20 feet of water or 30 feet of water. It's lying very many fathoms down, right down in the depths. And you don't get it in your comfort of your armchair. No, you get it. You get down into the things of God. Down there into the depths. Right down and get to know something of the preciousness of Christ. Yes, dig it up. Pray it in. And then the galbanum is a root. A root. And so we've got to get to the root of things. That which has gone right in. Get into the roots. And combine with the pure frankincense. Well, we don't know what that is, but I think the idea is, in us not knowing it, it's that appreciation that the Father alone has in his beloved Son. There is that in Christ that we can only stand apart from, and know that the Father had a supreme and unique and wonderful delight in his blessed Son. And you and I, dear saints of God, can only stand apart and spectate them. But indeed we can have the sense of it as we come and present him before God. And so this would be the ground and basis of our approach in this way, this line of intercession. And it was compounded together, salted, yes. There must be that which would keep it fresh and pure, not the stale old rituals that we bring up every day or every time. No, there must be that freshness there and pure. No, nothing impure, nothing unholy coming in there at all. Transparent and pure and holy. And it was beaten to powder. Oh yes, we meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditate on him and get down into powder, and that indeed brings forth the fragrance. And there's to be no copying of it. And if any who did that would be cut off. So dear saint of God, let us be found. Maybe there is not much that we can do, but at least let us be found in this great service today, this wonderful blessed service and intercession. Ever remembering that our blessed Lord is the one who has gone on high, gone in, is appearing there in the presence of God for us. Let us be found taking character and pattern from him in a similar blessed service for him today. Interceding for the undone sons of men, interceding for the saints of God. May it be so, for his name's sake. Thank you.